This morning, I'd like to just share with you from my heart what Christmas means to me. As we come now to another Christmas season, and for the most part, I think all of the shopping is over. You know, if you're not ready now, forget it. And now the real meaning of Christmas begins to come across. Now we begin to take time to really reflect, to think about this glorious day, what it means to us. Christmas, to me, first of all, means love. God's great love for me. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The Bible says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John said, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, that's no big deal, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So the birth of Jesus Christ means God sending his Son into the world, God giving his only begotten Son because of his great love. God loved me so much, he sent his Son into this world to save me from the power of sin that destroys man. As the angels announced, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Surely man needed salvation because sin is the most destructive force in the world. Sin is breaking God's law. Now, God in his wisdom knew those things that would be harmful and destructive to man. And thus, he forbade man to do those things that would destroy him. But man rebelled against the law of God. And as a result of this rebellion, the sin of man, there has come death, sickness, pain, sorrow, grief. And we see how the violating of the law of God has created the hatred, the grieving, the pain, the suffering in our world today. God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I think of all of the pain and grief that has resulted from the violation of that command. I think of all the tears, all of the sorrow. I think of all of the children that have been hurt, destroyed, because of the violation of this command and the destruction that it has brought to their home, to relationships. Surely God was right when he said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." God said, "Thou shalt not covet." And I think of all the wars, all of the crimes that are committed because of greed. We look at the reigns of the Noriegas, the greed that mastered these people's lives, their subjugating of others in order to feed themselves. And you look down through the years and you see what grief greed has brought to the world. And you can say, yes, our world is being destroyed by greed. God was right when he said, thou shalt not covet. I look at AIDS and how this plague is destroying so many today. I see the destructive effects and result of sin. Man's rebellion against God. Now, oftentimes, when I see a person just going their own willful way, deliberately rebelling against God and things that are right, and just going on that path, when it finally catches up with them, and they start really suffering and hurting because of what they've done, I sort of smugly say, well, they've got it coming to them, you know. Serves them right. They're only getting what they're due, but not God. He saw man suffering from the misery, the heartache, the grief of sin. And rather than just saying, well, you've got what's coming to you, he so loved me that he sent his son into this world on Christmas Day. And so Christmas means to me God's great love, greater than my rebellion, greater than my sin. And the Christmas story is that of God sending his son into this world to save men from being destroyed as a consequence of their sin. But John said, we love him because he first loved us. And so Christmas to me means love, not only God's love for me, but my love for God. And how I have come to love him because of his goodness and his blessings that he has bestowed upon my life. I look around day by day at all that God is doing and all that God has done, and my heart just overflows with love for God as I give thanks to him continually for all of the blessings from his love for me. And with David, I can say, oh, how I love thy law, O Lord. I've come to an understanding and appreciation of the law of God. I see that he was only trying to save me from destroying myself and others around me. And I say, thank you, God, for caring. You know, the next time a policeman pulls you over for doing 75 miles an hour, rather than going your way with a ticket in hand, mumbling about police officers, you ought to just stop and thank that man. Tell him you appreciate his concern for your safety and your well-being. You see, he may be sparing your life. Isn't it interesting how that so often with God's laws we are resentful? Rather than appreciating God's concern for our well-being. My heart overflows with my love for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to take my sin, to die in my place. But my love for God has given me a greater, deeper love for my family. Christmas means a day of gathering with my family and just expressing that love to my children, to my grandchildren. and looking around on Christmas Day at all of their beautiful faces, and just feeling that love flowing forth toward each one of them. For they each one have their special, unique place in Grandpa's heart. And a deeper love, a greater love for them than I could ever know had it not been for God's love for me. For God, you see, has taught me how to love. And then my love for the family of God, my love for you. You know, I like Christmas because it gives us sort of an excuse, if we needed one, to express love. Those feelings that we have of appreciation, of love for each other, though we feel them through the year, Christmas is the time of the expression. So we write the cards. And as we've received so many cards, oh my, and reading them over, and all of the expressions of love that have been showered upon us, it's just a time of, Christmas is a time of love. And Christmas to me means love. Christmas to me means giving. Again, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us his only begotten Son. He gave us a gift that is incomparable. He gave us salvation. For the angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." The gift of his Son in order to save the world from sin and the consequences of sin. Unto you is born this day. That's the angels quoting really sort of a portion of a prophecy of Isaiah. For Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born." So the angels are quoting that part of the prophecy. "Unto you is born this day. Unto us a child is born." But Isaiah went on to say, "Unto us a son is given." That child that was born in Bethlehem was God's son that he was giving to be the Savior of the world. He became the Son of Man in order that we might become sons of God. He gave his life in order that we might receive eternal life. He took our sins in order that we might receive his righteousness. God's gift. This is the record, John said. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life. Because God expressed his love for me in giving such a wonderful gift, I find that in my heart I want to express my love to God by giving him something that is meaningful. And there comes the perennial problem of Christmas. What do you give to someone who has everything? Because talk about someone who has everything. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein." So I am faced with the dilemma of realizing that anything that I would give to God in a material sense belongs to him already. So anything I might give to him, only giving back what is actually his anyhow. I mentioned a few weeks ago how my little granddaughters know how their grandmother loves flowers. She just is a flower child. And knowing her great love for flowers, they often go out into our garden and pick flowers for Grandma. And they come in with a bunch of flowers in their little fist, short stems, mangled in many instances, and they give them to Grandma in order to see her joyous expression from their gift of flowers. And you know, it is joyful. It's wonderful. Though the flowers belong to us anyhow, and Thanksgiving, I was so upset with myself. My wife is a flower freak. I'm a fruit freak. I didn't say fruity, fruit freak. And I have planted a lot of fruit trees around the yard. And I have a little navel orange tree. And this year, I've been watching two navel oranges develop. And they were just turning orange. Of course, I know that the sugar won't come into them until March or so here in Southern California. It takes a little longer for the navels to really get ripe and to get sugary. But I've been watching these two navel oranges, the first on this tree, waiting. Thanksgiving Day, my two granddaughters brought to me navel oranges. And I'm so mad at myself because my first reaction was, oh no, how could you do that? They're not ripe. They're sour. And I hate myself because I responded in that negative way. And I saw their faces. Here they were so excited, thinking, Grandpa, you know, you love fruit. Here, here's a couple of oranges, Grandpa. And when I saw their expressions of my reaction, I immediately felt, you know, how could I do that to them? And so I quickly changed and I said, oh, thank you. And I went in and I sliced them and I juiced them and I drank the sour juice. Serves me right for having that kind of response. But when we give to God, I think that many times it's like giving him a clump of wilted flowers or giving him a sour orange. Because we only seem to mar what is his by picking it and giving back to him that which belongs to him anyhow. And from reading the Bible, I've come to the conclusion that God isn't so interested in the material things that I give to him. In fact, you remember when Jesus was watching people give to the Father. It wasn't the amount that they gave that was really noted by him, but it was the heart in which it was given. And he said the woman who actually gave the least as far as amount was concerned, he said she gave the most because of the heart that was behind the gift. I want to give God something because I love him. He loved me. He expressed that love in giving his son for me. What can I give God? The angels said to the shepherds, there is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. I think there we have a hint of what we can give to God that is truly meaningful. That is ourselves, our hearts. To let him indeed become the Lord of our lives. What can I give to my master who has given everything for me? Can I give less or half of my best when he's given all for me? And so, Lord, I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to yield myself to you as the Lord of my life. Because I love you. Because you first love me. Wanting to give to God to show my love to him, of course, Christmas is a time of giving. And so we go in debt. We deplete the bank account. And we make foolish expenditures by things that are just extravagant because we want to show love. We want to see the faces of the grandkids as they open the presents, the children as they receive their gifts. Because we love them and we want to express that love in giving. And so Christmas is the opportunity of giving, expressing the love that I feel. But Christmas means peace to me. The angels that joined the one herald angel, they were saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You might say that Jesus was God's peace child that he sent to earth. To declare a truce with man who had been at war with God. To declare the ending of hostilities, the desire to end the hostilities. That war that man was engaged in against his Creator. And God is giving through Jesus an offer of peace. You don't have to be at war with God anymore. Peace on earth. The sad history of man has been that of war, bloodshed, cruelty, atrocities, violence. One empire after another conquering the world as they viciously slaughtered and subjugated their enemies. And I think through the history of man, the tears that have been shed because of war, because of sin, and all of these hostilities in man are rooted in the fact that man basically is at war with God. He's been in rebellion against the law of God. And so true peace begins with God. You cannot have peace with yourself until you have peace with God. As long as you are at war with God, you're going to be at war with everything else. If there is hostility in your heart towards God, that hostility extends into every area of your life. The announcement was peace on earth. And now that peace on earth is possible because God sent his Son to make peace between God and man. That war that had existed because of sin and man's rebellion against God, man can now lay down his rebellion and say, God, forgive me. And he can find the forgiveness of God because Jesus took your sin and he died in your place, giving God a just basis to forgive you your rebellion. Peace on earth can only become a reality through Jesus Christ. Peace with God brings me peace with myself, which brings me peace with my fellow man. And thus, peace among men of goodwill, those men who have discovered the Savior, who is the Messiah, and have made him the Lord of their lives. Christmas to me means hope. You know, the philosophers today have said that you cannot be a realist without living in despair, for reality is despairing. But no one can live in despair. We just can't exist in that state. And thus, we have to hope. Even if our hope is in something that is false, or hope is in something that is wrong, we've got to have hope. Because reality is despairing. In reality, a hope for a better world is unrealistic. Because surely you can't go to history to have a basis for a hope for a better world. The history of man is all black. Now, right, but you see, we are so desiring for something better. That right now, hope is filling the hearts of people all over the world because the Iron Curtain is beginning to come down. And suddenly we're all saying, oh my, you know, a new age, a new utopia. Isn't this wonderful? Look at history before you get your hope too high. I mean, it hasn't happened yet. And what makes us think it's going to happen now? If you're realistic, you know it isn't going to happen now. As long as man is man. And though we are acclaiming their greater freedoms, and we are applauding their stand for freedom and democracy, in reality, our freedoms are eroding every day. We are not nearly as free as were our fathers. More and more, our liberties are being taken away as Christians here in America. So we applaud them for their move towards freedom, but we see the erosion of our freedoms here. So reality doesn't give you any basis for hope. And yet we've got to have hope. We can't exist without hope. And I do have hope. Great hope. For you see, Christmas tells me that God keeps his promises. And God had promised to send his son into the world to save the world. And God kept his promise. Men waited for thousands of years. Long lay the world in sin and darkness pining till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. And the world was lying in sin and in darkness, but God kept his promise. And in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of Mary in Bethlehem. And the word of God, the promise of God, was fulfilled. But according to the prophecies and the word of God, he was despised and rejected by men. He was put to death upon a cross between two thieves. But according to the promise of God, he rose again on the third day. And it gives me hope, because God has promised that this same Jesus will come again and establish God's kingdom upon the earth, which will be a kingdom of righteousness and of peace. And his name will be called the Prince of Peace. And so I do have hope, a living hope, that there is a better day coming. A day when sin will be banished, when righteousness will cover the earth as the waters do cover the sea. God keeps his promises. And as we'll be sharing with you, a week from tonight, in our New Year's Eve message, I don't think it's going to be very long before God keeps that promise that his son is coming again. I can see so many things in the world today that give me great hope that we're almost there. Christmas means love. It means giving. It means peace. It means hope. Because that child that was born in Bethlehem has become my Savior and my Lord. If he is not your Savior and your Lord, then you really don't know God's love. You haven't received God's gift. And thus, you are not at peace with God. And you really have no hope. So I wonder, what does Christmas mean to you? Without hope. Without peace, without God, without love. Think about it. Pray about it. Maybe this Christmas you ought to receive the most important gift of all, God's gift of love to you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another Christmas season, another time to celebrate the coming of your Son into this world. Another time of giving, sharing, loving, hoping. And Lord, we just pray that each of us might receive your gift of love in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pastors and elders will be back there to pray with you, that you might really know the love and the peace and the hope of Christmas. It means other things. There are joy, and you can go on and on, but time doesn't permit. But sometime in the next day or so, get alone with the Lord and express your love to Him. Christmas is a good time for that, because it is the time in which we feel free to express love. God expressed His love for you. Take time to express your love for Him.